Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Friday evening to you. This is your host, Dynamic Daphne, the queen of the empowered soul. And yes, it's Friday night. And we are on because I want to apologize. This past Wednesday, we did not have a live show. And for those of you who listened on Sunday the 5th to that show, when I had a Doc Vaj on and we were speaking about spiritual contracts and agreement, it was indeed a powerful, powerful show. Unfortunately, there were some technical issues with Blog Talk Radio. And as they advised me that none of the shows on Sunday the 5th were recorded. So I do apologize for that. And I apologize to my guest because she had set time aside to be on the show. However, as soon as her schedule allows, we will have her back on. So again, I apologize for that. And today, as always, I would love for you to join in the conversation. And today we are doing a life segment. You know, on Wednesdays we did do business segments. Well, today we are doing a life segment, and we are looking to discuss who am I and what am I searching for. Are you searching for happiness? Are you searching for love? Are you searching for your soulmate, a husband, a wife, a life partner? What is it you're searching for? And why are you not able to find it or to hit the jackpot, if you may? And we're going to be talking about that. I'm going to be sharing some information that I found. But before I go into that, I want to share from one of my books, Celebrating 365 Days of Gratitude. I want to share some of the entries from that about gratitude. But before I do that, I want to tell you why I decide to do this segment and to hear from the greater population out there. For the past month or so, I have been hearing from different colleagues and friends and associates, if you may, about how challenging it is to find a soulmate, to find a love, to find a partner. And for those who have, who were in relationships, they began to notice that there was some deception that was going on, and you know, some people were hit from the blind side. And I decided to do the show today to let's hear from you, the listeners out there. I want to welcome guests 3491 to the show. And I want to talk to you, and I want to hear from you. What is it like for you finding the right person? So the number to call is 646-915-8166. But before we begin to take your call, I want to go ahead and share some of the entries here from the Celebrating 365 Days of Gratitude. It's a book that I am blessed to be one of the contributing authors. Gratitude is the sign of a noble soul. And the first entry I would like to read speaks about love what you have. And I think this is a fitting conversation for today. I have always resonated with the saying, you don't know what you have until it's gone. If you had asked 7 years ago, are you a grateful person? I'd have answered, yes, grateful for my house, career, and accomplishments. I might have even shared my gratitude journal with you. Then in August 2004, life as I knew it changed forever. When I woke with the excruciating headache and the loss of vision in my left eye, it was a blood clot, an undiagnosed genetic blood disorder. The condition, life-threatening, the damage, permanent. That powerful defining moment, as I like to call it, changed my perspective on life. Gratitude took on a whole new dimension and depth and meaning, expanding to an appreciation for simplicity. Sunshine on my face, peaceful moment, a walk in the park, and moments shared with loved ones. Life was no longer about entitlement, what I had or could achieve, or where I was going, but an appreciation for the present moment, for the sight I still had, and for others' love and support on the journey. Gratitude has taught me to focus on what I have, not what I have lost. I know that regardless of circumstances, I have the power to choose joy. And this is from Karen Walsh. I'll share one more right now. Gratitude for TLF. I am grateful that life is teaching me to live in truth, love, and forgiveness. That's the definition for the TLF. Because truth is the only reality, love is the only answer, and forgiveness the only way. Living in truth means being conscious that only the present exists. And to live in the past or to be attached to the future is to live in illusion. Living in love means looking past the ego and practicing unconditional universal brotherly love for all things. And the only way to embrace living in truth and love is to practice unconditional forgiveness. I am grateful that life is teaching me to trade illusion for truth, fear for love, and judgment for forgiveness. Miguel Gabriel Valdez is the author of that. I welcome guest 3449. Feel free to join the conversation. Who am I and what am I searching for? In preparing for the show today, I was blessed to find three articles. One came from the Oprah Winfrey blog, and it's entitled, Why Is It So Hard to Find the Right Guy? The other one is from the Marquee blog with Halle Berry. And the next one is from Pursuing the Truth, the Christian Marriage Series, Part 2, Finding Your Life Mate. And we are going to start with, why is it so hard to find the right guy? And I think we can also add to finding the right gal as well, because, you know, by speaking with my male friends as well as female friends, I find out, ladies, we are not alone. The men are having it as challenging as we are as well. So I want to encourage you to call in. I am going to be reading right now. So if you call in this minute, you need to give me time to come back on the switchboard to see you. But let me share from this article. Why is it so hard to find the right guy? Question. If Kerry had trouble finding sex in the big city, imagine my trouble finding a man in Rio. The men I met are washed-up high school hall of famers or your typical dog with nothing but sex on the brain. I'm in the rut. The right guy is out there. Why is it so hard to find him? This question came from Jaqui in Nevada. And here is the answer. As a matter of fact, this article is written by Cindy Chuckpack. And here's the answer. First of all, Kerry had a room full of writers making sure she always had a man, or at least a funny story about why she didn't have a man. So, like single women out there, you are at a slight disadvantage being non-fictional. Given that you don't have anybody brainstorming love interest for season 6 of the Jackie show, I think you are doing pretty well. After all, is better than a never was. And men who are interested only in sex are preferably to men who aren't interested in only in, say, Doritos. But I get it. You are hoping they are other options. Let's talk about the problem of meeting men in your city. A favorite national pastime for single women, Reno is a gambling maker, and gambling requires more losers than winners. But after you have been dating a decade or two, any city can feel like it has more losers than winners. You know who does meet Mr. Right? The new girl. I'm sure you are familiar with the phenomenon. You have lived someplace for years. You are feeling very been there, done that. Then a female friend moves to town, and before you say, This is where I get my hair cut. She's been on 4 dates and collected 7 party invitations. She's not better than you. She's just newer. So that's what you need to do. Jackie, be the new girl. I'm not saying you have to move, although moving certainly shakes things up. But you could also act as if you have moved and get the same result, no bubble wrap required. I had a single friend who moved to Los Angeles from New York. And since she didn't know many people, she decided to say yes to every invitation. That's how she ended up on a bus to a pioneer town with a bunch of folks dressed as pirates. There are so many reasons to say no to that offer. We are going by bus, but my friend not only had a surprising good time, she firmly established herself as game, and more invitations require no peg leg or parrot come pouring in. Within months of her arrival, she had great prospects and great stories. I had another friend who moved to Los Angeles for 3 months while on leave from a high-stress consulting job. After filling her time with volunteer work, daily beach runs, and watercolor classes, she exuded such a happy, healthy openness. She met men in line for coffee. Her final night, she had 2 first date offers, and the one she accepted led to a permanent move to Los Angeles, marriage, and 3 kids. Thinking about these women, I realize you don't have to be new in town to act new in town. You just have to try new things. Check out local concerts, farmers markets, and a new route to work, a new coffee place. Says yes to every invitation and don't do anything to meet men. Do things to intrigue, delight, or challenge you. Take singing lessons, floral arrangement, salsa dancing, trapeze, French. Be the new girl in a photographic class or a running club. A Habitat for Humanity build. A new kind of guy might be attracted to the new girl you become. But more important, you might love the new you. And that's sexy in any city. That is beautiful. I want to welcome guest 3631, and we have a call. I am going to go to the caller. Caller, good evening. Would you state your name and where you're calling from? Your last 4 digits are 7924. Hello, guest. If you don't want to make a comment, you can just tell me that. Your first 3 digits are 704. Do you care to speak? Okay, well, I guess not. I will mute the person back. And if you want to speak, please raise your hand. Again, I want to let you know that the phone lines are open. And I just share the article and why it is so hard to find the right guy. And I am adding the right gal too, because as I spoke with some male, they are telling me it is not any easier for them to find the right gal as well. So We have two callers in the chat room. We have caller 3491 and 3631. And I want to give you an opportunity to share with us what's your experience. If you want to type in the chat room, please do so. If you want to call in on the phone line, do so as well. The number to call is 646-915-8166. I am going to 646-915-8166 is the number to call. I will be sharing continue sharing from the research I found, but I want to give you an opportunity if you want to write your feedback or if you want to call in. It doesn't appear. Well, let me continue to share the rest from this article. Yes, and what I shared with you came from Cindy Chuck-Pack, and she is the author of Between Boyfriends book. So I have never read the book. I don't even know who she is. I just discovered this today, and I realized it would be a good thing to share from. So if you have read that book, Between Boyfriends, and you want to call and tell us about it, feel free. How to discover true love. We are going to read that. How to find the love of your life. Once upon a time, and this is from Karen Salamashak. Once upon a time, I used to date men who were Prince Harnings, a name I coined in my book, Prince Harning Syndrome, to describe men who are either troubled or troubled. I confess, I've been there and dated them. So much so, I used to joke that for me, all dating should be renamed blind dating. And instead of saying I'm seeing someone, I should more honestly say I'm dimly viewing someone. Thankful, I'm now happily engaged to an incredible Prince Charming, a man who is loving, sexy, communicative, trustworthy, generous, open, and growing, successful, and funny, just to adjective dropped a little. How did I finally manage to break the Prince Harming curse of my past and snagging some of whatever elusive and seemingly exclusive happily ever after love that I wrote about? Well, an Apple product is exactly what led me to my man. Truly, you know how an Apple created the downfall for Eve and Adam? The end of their world of bliss. My story is quite different. The downfall of my Apple iPod created the beginning of a couplehood word of bliss. Our love story begins a few months before I even knew my Prince Charming existed. My iPod broke. I kept setting up appointments at the Genius Bar to get it replaced through the warranty. But each time I kept canceling my appointments because of my overbooked schedule. Finally, one morning, after enduring yet another boring, muscle-less workout, I decided to head to my Genius Bar appointment to get my ears on new work iPad. However, When I handed the genius my broke iPad, he examined it and said, "Sorry, there's a scratch on the bottom, so it's no longer covered under warranty. But that scratch has nothing to do with the iPod not working." I explained. I went dead in my speech, my speaker system. That scratch is simple from carrying it around for months in my Mary Poppins exquisite tote. Note, I call my tote this because there's ways so much stiff jumbling around in it. "Sorry," the genius told me, "the scratch needs your warranty." "Can I speak to the manager?" I asked with a smile. The manager came over and I immediately experienced deja frustration. I was told, due to that tiny scratch, my plans to retrieve a shiny new iPod was verbatim. "If you want to file a complaint," offered the manager, "just fill out these forms and I'll forward them onward." I started at the snatched of paper he attempted to hand me and could feel myself entering into commodium zone. I was surprised. After all, I am a best-selling self-help author. I couldn't be sweating this small stuff, I asked myself. What could I coach a client to do? "You know what?" I said to the manager. "I intuit I'm not going to be getting a new iPad. And that's okay. I don't want to frustrate myself or you further. You are just doing your job as you have been instructed about what warranty. I'm not going to fill out the paperwork because I don't want to think about this iPod anymore. I'm going to leave this store now and go on to have a happy day, and I wish you a happy day too." The manager and I exchanged warm smiles. I headed out the door. But when I got outside, it seemed I not only left the store with my broken scratch iPod, but a broken scratch mood. I was still feeling circumspect, so I consciously decided to live up to my promise to the manager and choose to have a happy day. Following instinct can change your world. How did I manage to change my energy state to happy? 1, I told myself that what I just experienced was a day segment which began and ended in the Apple store. If there'd been a film crew there, they'd have packed up and left. I was now onto a new and better day segment. 2, I got quiet within. I asked myself, what can I do and where can I go to pivot into a happier mood? Out of nowhere, the answer popped into my head. Have breakfast at Pasties. Weird, I thought. I hadn't been to Pasties for breakfast in more than 5 years. I started to walk toward Pasties. As I did, I passed the Soho House, where I usually have breakfast, where I'm in this New York neighborhood, I was tempted to head into the Soho house, land of the familiar. No, 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 go to pastors. I heard in my head, you are meant to go to pastors. Your iPad broke to get you down there today because you are meant to go to pastors this morning. I heard this through so strongly. I had to laugh. I'm a rational woman, so it seemed silly. Although I'm spiritual and believe in intuition, I'm also logical. I am what I've had humorously coined as a spiritual logical. When intuitions come to me, I offer rationally talk myself out of them. However, on this morning, I heard this intuition so strongly. Not only did I decide to listen, I made a deal with myself. I am something. If something were to happen to me at pastors, I would thereafter always listen to my intuition. Off I jaunted to pastors. My mood now changed. One of excitement and curiosity. So much so, I noticed how it was a beautiful day. So when I arrived in the restaurant, I asked to be seated outside. The maitre d' took me to a special sunny table right in front of a handsome stranger who began a conversation with me within minutes. Eventually, he asked me to join my table. Then he asked me for my phone number. Then he asked me to dinner. Another dinner. A weekend away, my hand in marriage. This handsome stranger is my fiancé with those fabulous adjective dropping qualities. 5 lessons to learn. Let me check to see if there are any callers here. All right, I want to welcome at home with Victoria. Hello, my sister friend. Let me know whether or not you have anything to add to this conversation. Who am I and what am I looking for? Oh, what an honor it is to have you here joining me this evening. And I know, hi, Michael, darling, how are you? I would love to hear your input in here. Who am I and what I am looking for? And I hope you are doing fine. And I hope darling Steve is doing just fine as well. So it is really an honor to have you on here. You know I love you. You know I love you as much as I love Victoria. Yes, you can have 3 minutes. I just want to finish reading this story with this lady. 5 lessons to learn from a good fortune. I am still amazed by how my love story unfold. When I coach people, I tell them what they should merely learn from their mistakes, but non-mistakes. It's always empowering to figure out what you are doing right when things go right. With this in mind, a combo of the following good habits helped me find the love of my life. Number 1, I followed my intuition's guidance, which I've coined with the new word guidance. G-O-D-A-N-C-E, I believe there's some universal intelligence, be it God or higher consciousness, energy source. When you are quiet within, it will guide you to make wiser choices. For me, the word guidance can be explained best by referencing a favorite New York cartoon. Two chalk puppets are talking. One of them say to the other, "Sometimes I wonder if there is a hand. For me, this inner hand is what I mean by guidance, and it's highly worthwhile to listen to." I affirm that as well. Number two, I was a proud prude. I delayed physical intimacy until I was certain my man was certain about me. In Prince Harmon Syndrome, I recommended not simple counting dates to figure out when to sleep with a man, but counting until you have found 5 out of 5 essential traits listed in my book. For this reason, I also recommended not drinking alcohol so you can clearly see and hear who a man is and have the willpower not to be led solely by phobias. Number three, I recognize that if you use game playing baits, you lure in game playing fish. If you use open and honest communication bait, you lure in a guy who welcomes these high integrity values. Plus, open and honest talks helps you determine upfront if you share similar goals like marriage and children. Number four, I rename my ex Prince Harmon as teacher. Learned my lesson and moved on. I even put him in my cell phone under teacher. In the same way, I consciously pivoted out of the Apple Store into a good mood. I pivoted out of that relationship to face the positive lessons learned and grow into a better partner. Basically, you have got to be the change you want to date and marry. Bravo, bravo, bravo. I didn't merely focus on and wish list of things I seek in a man, like sexy, funny, smart, charismatic, and rich. I created a wish list to seek the feeling of being safe. I recognize that it does not matter if a guy is sexy, funny, smart, charismatic, and rich if he doesn't make you feel safe to communicate openly, safe to trust his commitment and loyalty, or safe to be your fullest self. A relationship of shared virtue where each partner challenges and supports the other to bloom into their best possible selves. I recommend drawing up a visualization of what this kind of love feels like, sounds like, quacks like. Imagine it for 5 minutes a day, 3 times a day. A habit I had for more than a year. You know what's strong? You know that love song. You don't know what you got till it's gone? Well, I've coined a new and happier love song. It's easy to know what you got when you clearly write it down and clearly prioritize holding it out for it. Karen Sal, Salmanohn, is the best-selling author known for creating self-help for people who would be caught dead reading self-help. Amazing. I love that. And my colleague and friend is on. Michael K, my darling.
Hello, Daphne, my love. How are you?
I am wonderful. I'm telling you, I'm trying to shake up the minds of people here, because I tell you, Michael, I'm speaking with female, I'm speaking with male, I'm speaking with straight, I'm speaking with gays, I'm speaking with everybody, and everybody's telling me it is not easy finding the right love.
No, it isn't. And I will, just to backspin off what you just said, quite frankly, if it wasn't for lust and alcohol, I would not be married today. So everything has its place, if you know what I mean. But the eternal trust, I think, comes after the initial connection is actually made. I think that way, because then you feel open. I mean, right now, I think in the world, especially with social media, there's so much concentration on not seeing, not reading the body language, not hearing the tone of someone's voice. It's all either caps or no caps. And I don't think you get a real good sense of the person, but at least, quite frankly, with the amount of users and losers out there, social media kind of provides a buffer zone. Would you agree?
Yes, I agree. As a matter of fact, I think today's Friday. So I think last Saturday I was speaking with a woman my age, and I'm in my 60s, and she was sharing with me that this dear friend of her in another state was dating this fabulous man she met online. And I look at her and I said, you know, God bless her. But I said, you know, by calling my friend by her first name, I said, you know, I still hold that I'm not going to be paying for love. Because and she said, what you mean paying for love? I said, when you sign up on all these social media sites out there, you never know who you're going to meet. Mm-hmm. And you end up paying so much and you're out of your money and your heart is broken again. She said, but are you meeting anybody in Connecticut? How long you live in Connecticut? So I think, just like this author, and I'm not sure how much of the article you heard, I think our intuition is our best guide, because it never fails us.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree fully. But again, it's having the right amount of information for your intuition to kick in. I mean, there are certain red flags. I have a number of friends, and actually I want to go ahead and do a show on this, on Homeless Victoria, but I would like to actually do a show just on the dating websites, the eHarmony, the Bucket of Fish, I think it is, and then Match.com and everything, because, I mean, quite frankly, I get the point of it. The point is, you pay so much money per month to go ahead and have, you know, take this long, drawn-out test to find out compatibility with other spouses and or with other people and everything. And I do assess the fact that it's actually very useful. But the people that I've talked directly who use these sites are always one or two dates. It's always like a little hookup thing. I mean, we really do have to recommend that we court again. I mean, I'm a big old-fashioned guy where, you know what, you don't sleep with the guy on the first date. You actually make him hold on for five or six and realize if you kind of want to, yes.
That's right. You know, Michael, I'm like you. I am so old school. Mm-hmm. I am so old school. I have not dated for, like, I'm not going to tell people how long, but mm-hmm. I have not dated for a long time. And if and when I start again, it's going to be the old school way for me, because I'm telling people, I'm not ready to be dropping my underwears. Because it is for a girl, I mean, we don't just drop it and pull it up back and move on. It's a connection there, and I keep telling women, If you keep your underwear on, your heart would not be ripped out so easily. Because we can't get it back after it's gone, you know?
I mean, you know what? I totally understand. And I understand, too, that it's a little bit different for women. Women actually mate with intent, and they find connection and stuff. Men are a little bit different. But, I will have to say, I am in my middle age, and when I sit and chat with friends over a glass of Chardonnay, we laugh by saying things like, "I wish I would have been," and forgive my language, Daphne, but a bigger whore. I wish I would have been a bigger whore when I was younger, when everything was tight and where it should be and stuff like that. Now at my age, when I have the knowledge to become so, or it's like, no one wants to look at that. I mean, if you still have to wear, a pressure garment to bed and then hope to God no one touches anything that it moves. So it's one of those things where if you had it to do all over again, would I do it differently? I guess not, but I certainly would have been a little bit more promiscuous because I was one of those people that was a little faithful. So.
But listen, Michael, you remember back in, and I'm older than you and all of that stuff. Oh, I want to welcome Moon Lady to the show, and feel free to chime in, 646-915-8166. Feel free to call in and chime in the conversation.
Absolutely.
But you remember, Michael, back in the days, we were talking about syphilis and gonorrhea, which was easily treated with some penicillin injection. I remember working at public health, and men were coming there that I knew their wives, and I had to be sticking them, and I'm seeing them with their wives, and I have to be smiling, and they're looking at me all nervous. Is she going to tell on me? But now, with AIDS out there, people can't afford to be sleeping around anymore.
No, I know. I mean, back in our day, I mean, getting the crabs was a horrible stigma that you had to go and get some, shampoo for, that, and comb it with a little comb. And I never had them, thank goodness. But, it was the stigma attached. Getting pregnant was a big red X. And, things have just progressed,
Oh, my
to the
God.
Point. It's
out. Oh, let's hear from somebody else to call in, guys. I want to hear what's your experience like. I want to touch on one of the things I wrote here is, are you looking for happiness? Are you looking for love, for soulmate, a husband, a wife? What is it you're looking for? I just want to address the topic about happiness. I know for me personally, I know that for me to be happy, I need to create my own happiness. You cannot find your happiness in nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Michael? Does
Well, it has to be a point where happiness is subjective and objective at the same time. So what I find is that the current situation that you are in, that everybody, these times are a little bit trying. I mean, economically, spiritually, politically, there are so many things harboring against one's happiness that you have to sincerely, I think, stop, look around, and take inventory of the things you have that are happy. The unhappy will always arise, but it's again where you focus your energy. If you find happy, then you will want to be happy. And there are many people out there with adverse situations that, it's hard to be positive in a lot of situations now. It really is. Myself included, I get very exhausted with my current situation, but still, we have to go ahead and find the happy. And I think that's our opportunity to cleanse the mind, meditate a little bit, and go back to what's intrinsically important. Things, cars, furs, clothes, shoes, we all know that doesn't mean a crap load. It is the happiness with content, the happiness with peace within that I think everybody is looking for, and they have to actively look for it. It's hard to be happy. Wouldn't you agree, Daphne?
Yes, it's so hard to be happy. It's so hard to remain positive. And I know just like we protect our children from danger, we need to protect who we are or who we are seeking to become.
Right.
Which leads me to our positive state, our spiritual state, our happiness state. Because if you wake up one day and you don't have XYZ, whatever your XYZ is, you got to know that when you switch it around and count and show gratitude for that which you have,
yeah,
it will help you to create a better state of being. But if you're always around a bunch of people who is always complaining, always complaining, always complaining, they go to their work on Monday and they're thinking, when is payday again? Without thanking God that, or the higher universe, whoever they serve, thankful that I have a job to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are many who are home who did not come to go to a job today.
Well, again, you were talking about intuition too. I mean, if you are that down in your current position, job, occupation, whatever, then deep down within you is the answer. You have to be quiet enough to hear it. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm all for the self-induced sick day where you just have to take a day to regroup.
Mental health day.
It's the stop the world day where
that's,
you know what,
right,
everybody's make every moment count. Always keep strive. No, don't.
No, you need
waste
to look
some
up
time.
That's right. Relax. Put your feet up. Close your eyes. Do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That leads me to read for you. Gratitude changes things. And this is from Donna Bruce.
Mm.
I have learned that the very best way to start my day is by giving thanks to God for what He has done for me.
Mm.
There were times in my life when I dreaded facing a new day. And there were times when words of gratitude may have come from my lips but didn't come from within my heart. So, I went on a journey. That journey was about seeking ways to fill every corner of my heart with thanksgiving. No matter my circumstances, it was about intentionally living a life of appreciation, finding a grateful moment each day, and a reason to be thankful. That's when I found out that gratitude is an inside job. It has to come from deep in your soul, where the Spirit of God lives, where goodness lives, and to increase your gratitude, you have to express your gratitude. I have learned gratitude changes things. You choose what is right in your world rather than seeing what's wrong. You love what you have and not yearn for what you lack. So, refuse to let your day pass without expressing thanksgiving. Today, find a grateful moment. Show appreciation for someone to be thankful. That is indeed powerful. If you have just joined us, please feel free to call in 646-915-8166. I also want to share one more entry from Celebrating 365 Days of Gratitude. I am grateful that I can be grateful. We as human beings generally do not value the things that are in our hands. Only when we lose them do we recognize what we had. That is why we should be grateful for everything, even the smallest things. I have stray cats who wait for food in front of my window every morning. I have nice moments with a glass of tea. I have good coaches who give permission to me to touch their lives and to be fellow travelers. I have a husband who gives peace and love to our home. I even occasionally have some illnesses that lay me low. I have a roof that I call home that saves me from the rain. I have sweet Imam who I call every morning and ask, did you get up? I have books, writing, and CDs that I am happy to be lost among. I have my photos which make me feel that I live. I ask the universe for something that I do not have yet and give thanks to the universe for supporting me on my way. I am grateful for all of these. Thankful I can be grateful. N. Sigden Aktabi. And that is so true, because we have so much to be grateful for. We have 34 minutes remaining. Is there anything else you would like to add, Michael?
I would just like to just add just in a heartbeat that the attainment, and again, this is from readings that I've done and everything, and this is what helps me to find happiness within. Four things I would highly suggest we all remove are fear, judgment, expectation, and ego. I think those things are learned behaviors that end up clouding the intuition and clouding the truth. It's a real bitch to try and remove them, don't get me wrong, because we're patterned and programmed, especially in society here in America. Some countries don't have as much of it, but especially here, we do react from fear, judgment, expectation, ego. So those are four things that I think one can practice daily to remove, and that's from A Course in Miracles by you've read the book, honey, but it's again my suggestion, and it helps me to go ahead and do things better.
Oh, wonderful. And you know, because it is such a challenge to do, we need to approach it like we are peeling an onion.
Mm-hmm.
One layer at a time. One
Absolutely.
Layer. And then some days we're going to find out you cannot even do a full layer. If you can do a quarter or a half, do that.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Michael. You were going to say something.
I would just say practice it daily, and be kind to yourself when it becomes insurmountable, and and you have slips. I have slips all the time. Sometimes I just can't tolerate ignorance.
That's
and
right.
By ignorance, I mean by just not simply learning about a situation. I mean, if you really want to have an opinion about it, and again, I'm a really big fan of learning, but.
Mm-hmm. You got
with opinion,
to.
You have to have all the facts in order to go ahead
exactly.
and come up with a summation. So
exactly.
if you want to really have, there are so many people, politicians and civilians alike, that
mm-hmm.
seem to have these half-baked opinions, post them on Facebook or Twitter, and it's like, oh, just think this through
Please.
Before you go ahead and make this a reflection
exactly.
of your
exactly.
person.
Exactly, exactly, yeah. exactly. And I tell people all the time, clients, people I work with, in this world, we need to learn what it means to disagree without being disagreeable, because you can do something, and I'm really not in a position to support it. It doesn't mean I don't support you as a person.
Mm-hmm.
It simply means that you're working on right now.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot support you. It has nothing to do with you as a person. I'm not going to respect you. I'm not going, disrespect you. I'm not going to dog you and all of that. I just am not going to support that which you're doing.
No, you can still appreciate the person and disagree
right.
with their point of view.
Exactly.
It doesn't make,
exactly.
I have a lot of individuals who I would find to be of different mind. But that, again,
mm-hmm.
I hate to be that. That's the Technicolor dream coat that everybody's supposed to be promoting here. It's
mm-hmm.
the, intermix of ideas and points
right.
of view that happens and everything. But I just want to go ahead and say, Daphne, thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you. Thank
I love
you
your
so
show,
much
tuning
joining.
In daily. I wanted to go ahead and just make it a little mention, because I'm kind of proud of this.
Yes.
And forgive my bragging, but last
right,
night's show on A Home with Victoria was number 201. I know you're miles ahead of us, but for 200 shows,
I don't even know how to find that out.
Oh, it'll Blog Talk will give you a count of exactly how many shows you have. Ours was calculated by iTunes, so
congratulations!
Thank you, my love.
You have the right to brag. You're doing a phenomenal job, you and Victoria.
Thank you,
and you know, you guys have been such a resource and support and strength to me. I love you guys. I love you. I love you more. And
I love you more. And Steven says hi, and he loves you too. So just huge
Steven.
Love to you and huge love to your listeners, honey. And keep
Thank
doing
you.
What you're doing because it's fantastic.
Thank you, my darling. And give
love
a hug
you.
And kiss to Steve for me. Love you too, Michael.
Take care, doll.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And yes, that was my friend and colleague, Michael Kay, from At Home with Victoria. A fabulous, fabulous gentleman. He is such a support and such a giving, loving person. I want to read something that Halle Berry says here. She says, finding a mate is a hard thing to do. If you have seen this September issue, you know that month is serious business in the magazine industry. So when Vogue publication Chronicle in September issue asked Halle Berry to be on the cover, there was no way she would say no, even though she swore off speaking up in interviews. I was burnt out with having other people tell the story about me that they wanted to tell. Berry 43 told the magazine, I told my publicist, I'm not going to talk anymore. I'm just going to live my life and be who I am. But then Vogue called. What that means for a woman of color and what that means to the fashion world, what that means to the pop culture, there was no way I could say no. No, I'm not going to be on the biggest issue of the year, Berry explained, of landing the cover story. But along with the high fashion photo shoot came the opportunity to set the record straight on her split from her boyfriend for close to 5 years, and father of their 2-year-old daughter, Nalia. It's just that you realize you are not meant to go the distance with everybody, Berry said. We were meant to bring this amazing little person into the world, and I think that's why we came together. And because of that, we are going to be together forever, all three of us. We are a family until we are not anymore. She and Aubrey, who still friends, Berry said, and although it wasn't a love connection for the two of them, she has no doubt he was the right man to have a baby with. And then it comes to finding love. Berry said, she's no different from the rest of us. No, really? I don't think I am unlike a lot of people. I'm just someone who is trying to find that mate. And I think it's a really hard thing to do. Berry said, I am not willing to stay somewhere where I'm not really happy. And I'm not willing to pretend I am for the kids' sake or so that I don't have to go through another public humiliation. In the end, the actress said she is starting to accept that she may not be the type of person who wants to settle down. It's about accepting who we really are, not who we want to be, as much as I have always wanted to be this committed, in this committed relationship and have the picket fence and grow old with the same person. I am coming to terms with maybe that's just not who I am, Barry added. She's also the type of person who is not afraid to take risks, which lead to her taking the role in the 2004 Catwoman. The moment I won the Oscar, I felt the tear down the face next day, Barry said of her historic Best Actress in 2001, Monsters Ball. I thought, if I'm going down, I'm going down taking chances and daring to risk, hence Catwoman. In the beginning, she had high hopes, but Barry readily admit that the story just wasn't good enough. But I will tell you one thing that has helped me deal with the failure of that, Barry told Vogue. Critics bashed it, but people came up to me and either say, I love you in the movie, B-A-B-S, which is the comedy that I did, or they say, I didn't care that anybody says, I like Catwoman. Nobody ever says, I really love Monster Ball. So that was Halle Berry's take on finding a mate. And I agree with her. Unless you can accept who you are, then you're not going to be ready to be with anybody else. So you keep moving on and moving on and moving on. I think we all need to take the time to know who we are, know ourselves, and understand what is it we really want. And as that first article I shared about the five lessons, the article that I shared from the Oprah Winfrey blog, and it is so true. Once we are comfortable with ourselves, we are going to be able to attract the right person. Know who you are, love who you are, and then it's going to become easy. I want to share one more. I'm going to share one more from the Celebrating 365 Days of Gratitude. Daily gratitude brings blessings. Every day on this earth, I am showered with blessings, which grow as I share them. On this day, I share with you that I am grateful for reaching the celebration of my 40 years of marriage. Congratulations, Linda Williams. I am grateful for the wonderful blessing of having my best friend as my life's partner and as the love of my life. I am grateful for walking together, knowing we have each other's back through the daily adventures and challenges of life. I am grateful for the joy of exploring new places, sharing new experiences together. I am living the wonder of each day together. I am grateful for watching our son grow into a man reaching for his dreams and goals. I am grateful for the rare opportunity to build a true friendship with my daughter-in-law in a way that allows us to share each and every day. I am grateful for the opportunity to share these blessings with others. Knowing the power of gratitude enhances everyone it touches. Share your gratitude with someone today, and you too will feel the power. how to remain grateful. I am an optimistic person, but like everyone else, I have days when I get in the funk. There's a link for me between gratitude and happiness. So I have a few tricks up my sleeve to get myself out of a funk quickly. I focus on all the blessings in my life. The sky, I take pleasure in both blue and gray skies. They are both beautiful to me. The great climate we enjoy in South Africa. My wonderful husband and two beautiful children. For many years, we were sure we'd ever be able to have kids. Our patient and caring nanny, who loves our children almost as much as we do. My health, as I have only had two sick days in the last 10 years. A job I am good at, and my amazing supported boss and team. But most of all, I am grateful to God, who cares about the little things in my life, takes care of them for me, and give me life itself. Marcia Francisco. If you are just joining us, we have 18 minutes remaining. Let's hear from you. What is your take on who am I and what am I looking for? In a mate, in a soulmate, in a husband, in a wife? Let us hear from you, 646-915-8166. A special year. My mom gave me an amazing gift before she died, and my appreciation only grows as I keep bumping into new insights around it. The gift was time alone with her. When she was 92 and husbandless, she outlived three. My sister and I propose a plan to live with her, rotating shifts for weeks or months at a time. We'd be there, go to gals, so we could stay in her own small, hot Florida condominium. I'm so grateful she said yes. What a wild and crazy journey we went on. Four adults, lives colliding after many years, entrenched in who we were. What years was glorious and profound, exhausting yet choke full of life, challenging, joyful, and sweet. It was only after she died that I saw the deeper meaning of what was going to reverberate for the rest of my life. She'd been a mirror for me, reflecting back on how much like her I've become, revealing to me too some curious traits I never knew I had, speeding along on a virtual earth. We'd all committed to 1 year. We agree that after that time, we would reassess. Mom reached her self-described expiration date just 3 short weeks before that year was up. Catherine Collins. Thank you, Catherine, for sharing that. In appreciation of friendship, there are big ships and small ships, but the best ship of all is friendship. The best kind of friend is the one who could sit on the porch with never saying a word, and walk away feeling like that was the best conversation we have had. If you have alone, be your shadow. If you want to cry, I'll be your shoulder. If you want to hug, I'll be your pillow. If you need to be happy, I'll be your smile. But anytime you need a friend, I'll be me. A friend accepts us as we are, yet helps us to be what we should. Piglet sidled up a poo from behind. "Poo," he whispered. "Yes, Piglet?" "Nothing," said Piglet, taking Pooh's paw. "I just want to be sure of you." To each of you who are willing to ride the bus with me, then the lemma breaks down, "I love you." This author is anonymous. Natural beauty surrounds me every day, everywhere. I'm grateful for the natural beauty that surrounds me every day. I enjoy the solitude of a redwood forest filled with towing trees that reach straight to the clouds above. I feel a sense of peace and renewed energy as I sit by the ocean listening to the waves crashing onto the rocks. I appreciate the rugged beauty of the snow-capped mountains that contrast with the bright blue background of the sky. I am amazed by the beautiful and fragile flowers that grows on the rugged mountains. I am grateful that each day begins with the new sunrise and ends with the magnificent sunset, no two of which are alike. Natural beauty is as close as my backyard, where I can enjoy listening to birds singing, a breeze blowing through the trees, and an occasional cricket adding to its own unique sound. I am grateful that I can take a break from my activities every day and be conscious of the natural beauty in my surroundings. And most importantly, I am grateful for my parents who taught me to see and appreciate the natural beauty that surrounds me everywhere. Thank you, Steve Sponseller. And the last one I will share today is for the 10th of August. Why the sky deserves our gratitude. I am grateful for the sky. I know who thinks of such things, right? It's always been there. So what makes it special? Consider this. The sky is entertaining. Growing up on a farm, summer days were long, boring, friendless. I spent afternoons on a blanket, staring at passing clouds, watching the wind shape their puffiness into vision. The sky's the limit, from my blanket to the heart of the Midwest. In the heart of the Midwest, the sky represents possibilities. When an occasion airplane passed overhead, I dreamt of travel, East Coast to West Coast, the sky my avenue to more sophisticated places. The sky records an indelible history and backdrop of human success and tragedy. My generation witnessed the first manned space flight and the catastrophe of a Columbine. it's somehow lift off, juxtaposed against the fury exposition, a white trail of smoke and the ever-present bright blue sky. The sky is beautiful, Art, from the gorgeous coral of Hawaii sunset to the bluest clear blue over California to the stormy grays of Florida. Wherever I go, the sky follows my ever-changing gallery. There's a reason why the sky is often referred to as the heavens. It's dreamy and heaven, isn't it? Deborah Mars. Well, I am thankful that I was able to share this episode and this segment with you. I pray that you have gotten a little insight that will allow you to sit back and coin, just like the authors in the material that I've shared have coined, what they are doing to change their lives and to attract the right partner. Each and every one of us, we can do it. However, before we will attract the right partner, may it be male or female, we got to know that we are the right partner for someone. Let us start to appreciate who we are. Let us start to bless who we are. Know that we have so much to give to somebody else. We have a lot to give to someone. There's an article here that I did not get time to share. Why should you marry? Why should we bother to get married? Why can't men and women simply live together, have children, and live happily ever after? Well, this is actually possible, but not biblical. Sound more sociable, constructive to the child's development. Two people marry because they are committed to each other. Marriage is usually the next progression in a relationship after courting. Marriage is by far one of the most serious decisions that you will have to make in your life. It is the is this the person for me? How do I know if I should marry this person? These questions race through your head, even if you do feel comfortable about the person. Only time will tell, however. Marriage is desirable because of the stability it provides for the family. Even if that family is just the husband and the wife, this is, of course, assume a good marriage. Marriage can only prove to be beneficial to the development of the man and the woman as they appropriately pursue their dreams and goals together. Marriage, by nature, is a good thing. However, having good marriages is a whole different ball game and will require a lot of work by both the husband and the wife. Why marry a certain person? You are in a relationship with someone and the thought of marriage is in the air. Why should you marry this person? People get married for many reasons. In part one, we discuss that love is one reason why people get married. And we found that love alone is not sufficient or material bonding. People also get married for the following reason. They produce a child out of wedlock, a sense of security that their spouse will provide such financial security, need of a father or a mother for their children, perspective of continuation of good sex, the pride of linking with such a person, you know, like a supermodel type. Here is where the problem starts for many. Simple said, they marry to pursue the wrong person or the wrong reason. Choosing the right mate is exactly important to increase the probability of the productivity of a successful marriage. I think it is a common belief that if a woman has a child out of wedlock, then that woman and the father of the child should get married. On the surface, this sounds logical. However, logical will not produce a successful marriage. Instead, the marriage will be in trouble from the very beginning, unless the two really have a genuine love for each other, have a strong relationship, and are really willing to commit to each other for life. A marriage resulting from this type of circumstances is a marriage based on duty and not commitment, and will not necessarily produce good Christian marriage. This doesn't mean that such marriages can be successful. I am only saying that a child before marriage should not be the sole reason for two people to get married. Getting married for the wrong reason to the wrong person can be devastating. This may result in the man, woman, or both living the rest of their life in misery. The marriage may end in separation or divorce. Worse, they may even separate and simply live a desirable, unfaithful existence to each other. So there is another added insight for you. I want to thank guest 3491 for hanging out with me for the duration of the show. I will see you again on Wednesday. And I want to remind you to share this link with someone. I know that it will be a value-added gift to them. This is the Queen of the Empowered Soul saying thank you so much for listening, and ask that you follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook, and mark the show favorite so you can know what the conversation will be like. Stay blessed. I love you, and ain't nothing you can do about it.
For me, this prayer. I just begin to say this by faith to the Lord. And I need you to grab it in your spirit and say this. Thank you for showing me and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny.